Well, good morning, Saints of God. This is Ty Moore bringing you your online Bible school with Grace Institute. And we are sharing this with our other discipleship group, PowerPoint Motivational Word, PowerPoint Discipleship, and Favor Media. So all of these discipleship groups will be uploaded. This lesson will be uploaded at the end of this lesson that I do today. Also, you get an opportunity, if you desire, to subscribe to us on the podcast, whatever podcast you listen to, whether it be Apple, whether it be Google, or Spotify, iHeartRadio, all of, you know, the Grace Institute Online Bible School is on those podcasts so that you can listen to it at your convenience. So without any further ado, let's go ahead and make our faith confession. Let's say it out loud. For the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever, whom the Lord has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. And so I want to say good morning to you. Thank you for joining me on this Friday morning edition as we continue about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, in our last lesson, we were dealing with the subject about the difference of, you know, your prayer tongue, the tongue that you have as a prayer language, and then the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues and your prayer language are two different types of tongue. They function in a different light, should I say. And remember, we use 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and show that, as we said here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and just speaking to you out of the Amplified, it says, now there are distinctive varieties and distribution of endowment, gifts, extraordinary power. And I'm speaking from the classic Amplified version of this verse of scripture. And it goes on and said, extraordinary power distinguishing certain Christian due to the power of divine grace. And notice this, operating in their soul by the Holy Spirit, and they vary, but the Holy Spirit remains the same. So in other words, these gifts and operation will work according to the understanding or how much revelation of truth that we have in the Word of God. So the more truth that you have about the Word of God, the more functional these gifts will manifest themselves in our lives. So like we say, the gift of tongue, again, one is prophesying according to the proportion of his faith. And you can see that, we'll see that also in Romans 12. Well, let's just go over there just for a moment. The book of Romans chapter 12 talks about you and I prophesying according to the proportion of their faith. So when it says according to the proportion of your faith, that means to the degree of understanding that you have in the Word of God, and you allowing the Word of God to speak forth out of you. Because why? It's Christ's life that's in you that you're broadcasting. In other words, you're speaking from a perspective of where you're comfortable, if I could use that point, where you have a knowledge of opening yourself up to speak in a light the way you are comfortable of it, knowing that you can speak from this perspective with an understanding, meaning I know this, you know, not you, but Christ in you, and you're allowing what you know of him to be expressive. And so in Romans chapter 12, here, notice this, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 5, it says, so we being many members of one body of Christ, and every one member of another, having then gift different according to the grace that is given to us. See, the grace that is given to us. So we all have the same measure of faith, but we can develop our faith. The grace that we have is different from one another because it is God who has given unto us through from the foundation of the world, should I say. So from the foundation of the world, these gifts, these abilities, these different endowment that God has placed within us, we are different because he made us different. He gave it to us in a different light. Are you following what I'm saying? You can have the word, in the word is the word, but as one of the prophets used to tell us, you can bake, you can have potatoes, but you can have it in so many different light. One night you can have it in as a baked potato. Next night it could be a cream, it could be cream. Next day it could be fried. So are you understanding what I'm saying? So potato is potato, but it's the format and how you fix it that makes it different. Same potato, but in various light of partaking of it. Well, it's the same thing about the word. Same word, but in various aspects, you can receive a greater light, greater insight, greater understanding. And so here, he said, that's why I say having then gifts that are different according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, he said, let us prophesy. But notice that you are prophesying according to the proportion of faith. So that means you are prophesying according to the revelation knowledge of truth that you have of him. Amen. And so, and it's the same thing about when one speaks in, we call the gift of tongues. So the gift of tongues, and I want to put major emphasis upon it as much as I can. And the reason is because the gifts of tongues is one of the manifestation that we really won't allow to function in the church. And these gifts, whether it be prophecy or the gift of tongue, or we call it the interpretation of tongue, these manifestations take place in worship. And the reason why they are more common in worship because of where the mindset of people may be at that moment. They may need a word of encouragement. They may need a word of comfort. And so God uses those gifts. He uses those manifestations to do what? To uplift the people that are there, to encourage someone that is there, to build comfort to someone that is there. And so you have no way of knowing what is going on in a person. But then when we begin to release it by faith and allowing the gift of tongue to come forth, you see, And notice this, it's the Holy Spirit that is work in you, because when you're filled with the Spirit of God, as the scripture said right here, if we go down here, notice this, it says here, let me start here, it says in verse 5, he said, I would... Well, let me go back to verse 4. He said, he that speaketh in the unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesy edifies the church. So I can speak in tongues, which is I do every day, sometime throughout the day, off and on. What is doing? I'm edifying myself. Why? Because there are things that are crisis come against me. There are circumstances that I may be facing. There are conditions that of things that's happening that wants to take me over. By praying in the Spirit, what it does, it takes my mind set out of what's going on and put me in a manner to whereas I can release the peace of God. I can release the joy of God. I could be strengthened in my inner man. My inner man would be my thought life. It would be through my emotions, which releases through my feeling. And so therefore, when we do that, what it does, it put us in place to whereas we can gain the mind of Christ in this matter rather than having, you know, the woes that we are confronted by. The woes would be, again, the circumstances, the situation that is at hand. And you have no way of explaining, you have no way of expressing. But when you pray in tongues, That's when, well, notice what you're doing. You're edifying yourself. You're causing that anger. You're causing that madness. You're causing whatever that is to do what? You're digressing itself so that you can see, so that you can have understanding, so that you can make sense of something. Okay? And that's one reason of praying in other tongues. Why? Because it's a way, it's almost like physically, when you have too much upon you, what do? You find a way to get it off you. Some people love fishing. Some people love running. Some people love working out. Whatever it is that get you to get that off of you physically, but then when something is on you mentally, you can't use physical events or activity to get off of you a mental condition. No. When you disturb mentally in the soulish part of you, then you're going to have a soul exercise. You're going to have a word that comes that's deeper than the soul, which is your born-again spirit. Your spirit, which is born of God. Your soul, your spirit is the anchor of your soul is the anchor of your spirit. And so when your spirit releases the divine energy, the divine life that is in you, then all of a sudden now, mentally, the soul can be edified. The soul could have divine life. The soul, the same divine life, the same divine energy that the spirit had, the soul can have, and that it would be its mental exercise. And then because the soul now is fixed, it has God's peace, it has God's joy, it has the word of God flowing through it. Now my mind, which is my memory with my mind itself, good morning, Brother Stewart. My mind, which is my brain, which stores information now, I can take the new activity that is in my soul, in the thought life, and I can begin to pull down whatever memories that I have of something that's stored, you know, how I will respond, how I will act, and I can replace it now with this new truth that I received out of praying in the Spirit. Can you see what I'm saying here? Notice this, Paul said, he that speaketh in tongue, he edifies himself, but he that prophesies, he edifies the church. So that just simply saying right there, when you are in church or whatnot, there is two orders. If a church that you belongs to is spirit filled, then it will understand the gifts of the Spirit, and they will allow the gifts of the Spirit to function as the Spirit of God will. And that's why, you know, every time I have church, I pray it to myself, Lord, I thank you for the best gift that will function today amongst the body. So it may not be tongues, it may not be prophecy, it may be the gift of faith, it may be the word of wisdom, it may be the word of knowledge, it may be a working of miracles. But whatever that gift is, or maybe it may be a gift that whereas, you know, someone, we have someone in the church that is an exalter. And that's another thing in Romans chapter 12. It says, let me give you that one also. Go back to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I'm trying to talk as fast as I can without moving too fast, because I really want you to understand these things, because a lot of these gifts, a lot of these manifestations in the body of Christ, in the church, where the body of Christ function, and where unbelievers that come in and visit, they're not functional anymore. And here, notice what we just said here in verse 4, he said, having then gift according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. So you are prophesying according to the proportion of faith. In other words, according to how you let the Spirit of God move you. As long as you keep your soul open so that the Spirit of Christ can function through your soul by the power of the Holy Spirit, it will speak life. It will release the life of God so that the body can be blessed, so that the body can be endowed with this power. And knowing that the people will now, that they may be oppressed, they may be discouraged, they can leave edified, you know. And then he said, our ministry, let us wait until our wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching. So we see that's another different function. There's another gift. Gift. You could sometimes there are teachers in the body of Christ. Sometimes there are those. The one I want you to see here is exaltation. He that exalted on exaltation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. So we see here the ministry of exaltation. So there are many in the body of Christ that whereas the gift that may come forth is a gift of exaltation. And so that leader, pastor, or whoever it may be that's leading that congregation may recognize in their spirit, because the spirit is subject to that individual. That pastor or that teacher, as he or she opens themselves up, then they will recognize there are certain people in the church or whatever that spirit of exaltation, and you could call that individual up, and that person will probably can speak for about an hour just exalting people, just exalting, giving out exaltation of the Lord. And that's all the body of Christ may need for that service. Or you may call up someone that is teaching the word of God, ministering and teaching. And you may let them come up and do a teaching on something or share light on something, and then all of a sudden the service is finished. See, it's not how long we have service. It's making sure that we are doing it in the light, the way it's meeting the needs of mankind. And then he says, he that giveth, let him give with simplicity. In other words, there is some time that you have service that whereas God, supernaturally, the spirit of giving will take place. And you have a person that stand up, that will come up or whatnot and just testify about giving, why we should give, the importance of giving, the importance of not only just giving, but how to receive. And then all of a sudden, you just pick up an offering that is, you know, that you've never seen before in your own church. And then, it depending upon where the body of Christ is, it may be a person there in need or whatever. And then all of a sudden, the money that you picked up, extra money that you picked up and whatnot, it will be able to be distributed to help someone out of that bad situation that they're in. And so what I'm saying to you is that when we, as spirit-filled people, in the body of Christ, when we come together, we should not neglect. Now, I understand that sometimes, you know, you could have more wildfire than you have understanding, but that's why you have a pastor, whoever, a bishop, or whoever is leading that service, because the Spirit they are in control, and they're the ones that God is using to judge everything that's going forth. And so whatever is being ministered to according to the person, if something is not being said properly, if something is not being done properly in these gifts or whatnot, then that leader is the one to have to straighten it out. Okay? So it's his or her job to do what? Not to put the finger and bring in someone down, but to point out, okay, what we see. And that would be based upon the individual. You know, someone may be earnestly they're allowing God to speak through them, but yet they're making a mistake in what they're saying and doing. You may privately want to pull them aside and share with them in a greater light, so the next time they speak or whatnot, then they will be able to open up more and speak more fluently, speak more with an understanding. Or there are times that you have some people that just thinking that they hear from God and they can't be corrected, you know, that this is the word and, you know, they won't hear it, then you have to just, you know, straighten them out right before the people and say, no, this is not the word of the Lord. Why? Because you're the one that's in charge of that meeting, that service. And that's the part that any leader, no leader loves to do is what? Is to have to correct someone in the front of everybody of what's going on. But if we're going to allow these gifts to function in a proper manner, then everyone knows that the pastor of that church is the leader of that church, and God has called him or her to do what? To allow these gifts to function. But if they get outside of the word of God, the understanding of the words of that God is the power of God, what God is doing at this moment, it is that leader's responsibility to correct that, so that the people will not be hindered. Okay, and that's one of the major, if I could say, that's one of the major setback in allowing these gifts to function. And so that's the reason why, one reason why I believe some people just say, well, I just want to let these gifts function because it causes too much misunderstanding and it causes too much bad feelings of people. People get love wrong. They leave the church. Well, if a person leave the church because they got corrected, then they never was with you from the get-go. But you cannot allow corrupt words to go forth that people are hearing and it's affecting everyone. No, you have to be in a place in love and show them through the scripture so that they too, and if you show them through the scripture, then they don't mind being corrected. And they'll stand up and say, look, I stand to be corrected. The pastor's right. And I'm grateful. And see, it doesn't take something away from that individual. In actuality, it empowers them more so to speak out, and they're looking more so that if something is out of order, they're looking for the pastor to do what? To judge the word. Because that's what their responsibility is. But at the same time, we don't want to hold back the body of Christ. We don't want to put the body of Christ in fear of allowing these gifts to function. And so as we go back over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, again, when Paul said that, he said, I would, verse 5, he said, I would that all would speak with tongue. Why? Because, again, it edifies. It builds us all up. Okay, tongue, you know, your private personal, tongue, meaning your tongue that was given to you, that you were filled with the Holy Spirit, it is for you to minister to God. It is for you to be strengthened. It is for you to be edified. It's like taking medicine for your physical body. Well, when you start praying in the spirit, well, it's ministering to your soul. It's ministering to your inner man. It's strengthening it. It is positioning it to hear the word of God and change your whole outlook, your whole perspective on things that is ungodly. But you can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times you can't, when you praying in other tongue, therefore there are times you can interpret, because the Bible said, pray that you may interpret. You can interpret your own prayer language in a manner whereas you can understand. Because the prayer language that you pray in, the tongue that you're praying in, is actually someone else's dialect language that they speak out of. We just don't know it. But God uses it to strengthen us, to empower us. Oh my. Notice this. So he said, I would that ye all speak with tongue, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speaketh with tongue, except he interpret, that the church may be edified, so he may receive edification. It's not that you can't speak in tongue with that the gift of tongue, but when the gift of tongue come forth, let that be an interpretation of it when you are doing it in church. Or it's better, it's easier to prophesy, but either way, it's going to take faith. It's going to take the power of God. It's going to take faith for you to prophesy, and it's going to take faith for someone to speak, to release a word of God in tongue, and then to interpret it. So I believe the same person that made the gift of tongue come upon them, the spirit of prophecy to understand what was said is also right behind it. And then normally, sometime out of two or three witnesses, the same word will come forth. It may not be word for word, but it will be saying the same thing. And what is it doing? It's affecting the body severally as it will. In other words, you know, one portion could be for one part, but for one part of the body, another portion of it could be a part for someone else in the body, and one part could be for someone that's in a severe situation and no one understood. They don't even understand, but speaking out from that tongue, prophesying to that person, I mean, just prophesying in the congregation, what it does, it releases an empowerment to let that individual know that God cares. But if we hinder these gifts, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues from functioning because we don't understand, because we're afraid people may leave, or whatever the reason may be, we got to get over that. Because we didn't put these gifts in there. These gifts that God thought is important for the church to function in. It's just that they have to have an order. And again, I think the biggest reason for not allowing the Spirit of God to function in this matter is because we don't like leaders. We don't like correcting anyone. And in this day and time, it's just like, well, I can't afford to lose nobody else. I can't afford to lose people. Because we start thinking about money, we start thinking about different situations, but we can't be thinking like that. I won't think like that. You know, either the word is so, and if God called the church, then God would be the one to make the provision for the church to stay afloat and take care of everything that's necessary. And if it doesn't do it, then we just have to look to see what else that God has, or we just keep moving forward. But we cannot jeopardize, and we cannot penalize the body of Christ, or we hinder the gift of the Spirit of God from functioning as it ought because of the fear of man or whatever the reason may be. These gifts are given by God. Why? Because everyone in their faith walk with God is at a different level, different understanding. There are some people at the moment cannot believe God for their healing because they don't have enough knowledge or understanding of the truth. But someone may come in there and all of a sudden the gift of healings may take the Spirit of God, get to moving in that church through the praise and the worship. And then all of a sudden, you know, I call it the power gift, the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, and the working of miracle. Those are called power gifts. And then all of a sudden, those gifts will be working function because of the praise. And a lot of time, again, these things happen because you have a steady diet of understanding the Word of God. So the Spirit of God, remember, He's the one that is responsible for allowing these gifts to function in the body. So we don't allow these gifts to function as we will. And now you can go many services without these gifts working at all, because again, they are just gifts. They are benefit. The better of receiving God's way of doing and that which is right is to live by the faith of the Son of God that gave us this life. But then again, there are many that come into the body of Christ that may have a disease, that may have an illness, that may have a deficit, or whatever it may be, and they don't have the faith right now to trust God at His word to bring it to pass. Well, God will cause those gifts to move, and then all of a sudden, what they could not receive just by the laying on of hand by faith, the gift of faith, the gifts of healing, the working of miracle will come in and touch that person, and instantly they will walk out of that place renewed like they never been before. Now, the problem with that is that now that pastor need to teach them, we can't live on this. Now, these manifestations took place because God loved you. Now, let us show you how to keep your healing. Let us show you how to stay out of debt or whatever that may be. Once you've been touched supernaturally in a way, now you have to learn how to stay afloat and not always be dependent upon thee, because what if these gifts doesn't work? Notice in verse 11 of, if you go right back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and look at verse 11 and notice it, it said, but all these work it, that one and self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So these gifts, again, they don't work when we want them. They work as the Spirit of God will. Now, again, as I said in the early, I think it was Monday or so, in the early part of this lesson, is that, hey, there are times that those who are called in the fivefold ministry, you know, these gifts has a way of functioning through them as they go ahead on through the gift and calling that they have. But it's not a guarantee either, okay? But what we are guaranteed is that we can study the word, teach what we have received, revelation of the truth, and we allow the Holy Ghost, if he chooses, to function through these gifts. If not, we can still get people healed. We can still get people saved. We can still worship God. Why? Because that's the normal order. The gifts are a benefit to come in more or less to save us, to get us out of something, to lift us up above something, that whereas we don't have the time or we don't have the understanding to do it by faith. And because God loves us, he always causes a way for us to escape. And that's what these gifts do. They help us in a manner to get there. It'd be just like saying, if I needed to go to Los Angeles, California today, I needed to get there today. Well, if I left right now, I'm not going to get there. And I needed to be there today. I'm not going to get there right now. It's going to take me 24 hours to just about get there, right? Take me about almost 8-9 hours just to get through Texas. So what do? I catch a plane, right? I can get there in a few hours. Can you see? And this is what I'm saying. You know, I may want to just drive and say, if you want to enjoy things or what, I'll get there. But if I need to be there at a specific time, if I need something to happen, you know, something needs to take place at a certain time, then driving not going to be it. I have to fly. And this is the same thing what I'm saying about the gifts. There are times that you and I don't have the understanding that we should have. And these gifts is to help us to do what? To grab hold of recognizing that God loves me. And now as I grow in the word, again, a good pastor will begin to start teaching his people or whatnot. We don't live on these. But when we have need of them, the Spirit of God will show up as he will. But what we do have, we have a guarantee that if we learn to act on what Jesus has already done for us, then we could be less dependent upon, you know, the gift of faith, the working of miracle, the gifts of healing. Or you follow what I'm saying? Any one of those gifts, even, you know, tongues and interpretation of tongues. But we're going to always need the spirit of prophecy. We're going to always need tongues and interpretation. Why? Because people coming in of all different walks, different life, even the body of Christ, we all get assaulted. We all get attacked. And we all need to be edified. We all need comfort. We all need consolation. And so that's why these gifts are there. From, you know, whether it be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, we need it the most because we're the one that's always giving out. We're the one that's always trying to get, make sure the body of Christ is edified, make sure the body of Christ have everything that they have need of. And a lot of times leaders are left alone by themselves, you know, after they gave all this out. And it's just like there's no one there for them. And that's why it's so important that we have friends as leaders, someone that we can sit down and we can talk with, we can open up with, so that we too can have a way of expressing ourselves and also receiving. So no one is an island. No one gets to escape. My point is that let's not neglect these gifts. And as I close once again, let me go back to verse 5. He said, I would that you all speak with tongue. That's a comma. Paul said that. He wants you to know every believer should speak with tongue. So there's no such thing as Paul said, well, rather prophesy in church. Well, he's talking about two different things. There's a comma here. You just can't go over this comma. Okay? Number two, he said, but rather that ye prophesy, for greater is he that prophesy than he that speak with tongues. See? But why is he saying that? Because no one can understand us praying in tongues for an hour unless we are using, or if we're doing intercessory prayer. And then along, sometime with even with our intercessory prayer, praying in the spirit, we pray with our understanding also. If you go down here to the 14th verse, or the he said, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayed, but my understanding is what? Unfruitful. He said, what then is? I will pray with my spirit, and I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with understanding. See, that's what we do when you come together. But it has to be explained to the body of Christ that are there. Most time people pick it up. If they're in a spirit-filled church, they pick it up. And that spirit, that anointing, engulf everyone in that place. And those who doesn't pray in tongues, those who doesn't worship God in tongues, those who don't allow the spirit of prophecy to take place there, they're going to want to be filled with the spirit. They're going to want these gifts to manifest through them. They're going to want to put themselves in a position, Lord, if you want to use anybody today, use me. I mean, I can remember a time we used to look forward. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you use me to speak a word today, to prophesy today. You use my vocal cord. I thank you, Lord, that your power will come up out of me to the gift of faith, the working of miracles will take place in somebody's life to do something good. That means, what are we doing? We're making ourselves available that if he chooses to function in that light today, then I make myself available that you can use me. But if not, that still doesn't take anything away from me. Remember, those are just special endowment, and they are not for anyone's particular. They are of the Holy Ghost. It is as the Spirit will, as we read in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12. It is these gifts function as the Spirit will, not as man will. Now, I can pray in my prayer language as I will. Why? Because it's mine. But the gifts of tongue, it belongs to the Holy Ghost. It is an anointing that comes upon that individual to be able to speak in that tongue and then to give the interpretation of it. Or maybe there's someone there that can give the interpretation of. I've been in service whereas the gift of tongue come up on me, but then I see in the room where I am, I know that the person, when I do, it's just like, I just know, and I'll point to that individual now, give the interpretation of that. Because I know the Holy Ghost released that in me for them to speak. Now, if they say, what if they don't? Well, then guess what? He put it on me. So that the people won't go, be left hanging, not understanding what took place here. And if a tongue did come out and there was no interpretation, that's when the leader stands up and begin to explain to the people what took place. Amen. And the more we have understanding of these truths, the more we're willing to walk in them in love, because that's what these gifts are for. They are gifts that manifest the love of God. And when we do that, we'll see greater breakthroughs. We'll see people less oppressed, less depressed. We'll see people less under stress and strain. We'll see people walk out with understanding. I now know what to do in this matter. I now know how to walk this out. Why? Because we believe for the best gift to function. And again, it may not be any of those nine. It could be of the gift of exaltation. It could be the gift of ministry or the gift of teaching. It could be the gift of giving. There are about 32 gifts of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost that's all up under the heading of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just trying to use them all intertwinedly. It'll take hours to break all this down to give them in section by section. But I think because we have had enough knowledge, we have had enough understanding, we just probably, you know, lay it down. We'll probably close the book on some of these things, but I don't believe that's the will of God. And I believe God wants the church to experience the fullness at all time. Amen? And so I'm going to stop right here because my time is coming gone. We'll pick this up again Monday, God willing. And I will be speaking about this in church this Sunday, God willing. I'd love for you to tune in to us. And if you like this lesson, this lesson will be uploaded on Grace Institute Online Bible School podcast. And you can go back and listen to it again and again. You can go back and check these scriptures and look at it in a way. It's a reason why I just give a few scriptures at a time. Why? Because I want you to be able to understand it. Amen. And it takes time, especially if you're not accustomed of understanding this. And you always can text me or call me or whatnot, and I'll be open to you. Today is offering day. So if you believe that this anointing that has blessed you, has opened your understanding, and it's empowering you, then it's on your page, Cash App, The Favor Church. So whatever that is that you sow unto us, we're taking it to help us to move forward in the things that God has called us to. And so just like you, I'm faced with situation. My God, if I tell you what I'm faced with, it just probably floored you. But I just thank God that every day I'm walking in His grace. I'm walking in His mercy to do what? To release it in His hand and let it stay there. And so, look, we all have to live by faith. Okay, just because I teach the word, that doesn't mean that there is no assault. No, they come. There's no difference. It's how we respond when they show up. Amen. And so I love you. I thank God for you. And as we'll always say, until the next time, may God's best and His favor be with you. Love you now. We'll do it again Monday, God willing. Bye-bye, everyone.